Good morning and welcome to worship here at Westminster Presbyterian. To our members, to our guests, we're glad you're here. Now, I need to give you your annual Easter quiz. Are you ready? I'll give you the first line. Let's see if you get the second line. I'll give you a clue, though. It is the most ancient of confessional statements in the Christian church. Maybe that'll help you. Here we go. Ready? The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You passed with flying colors. I'm impressed. It's the first church I've ever served, but you said it with a resounding force. Indeed, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And we celebrate that today on this Easter Sunday. Lots of good things going on in the life of the church to share with you. Begin with a couple of thank yous. Thank you to all of you who helped with our Easter egg hunt yesterday. We had a nice turnout, a crowd of folks. I think we hid over 500 eggs somewhere, and I think we found most of them. So if you go out and you see one in a bush, you're welcome to take it home with you. But thank you to all of you for helping stuff eggs and being present yesterday. We had a very energetic Easter bunny, and it was a good day to celebrate, to welcome our community to come and join with us. We also need to say a word of thanks to our Boy Scouts. Maybe you've noticed this island out here beside the sanctuary has some new flowers and has had a lot of work. One of our Eagle Scouts has worked on that, and we say thank you. There's also another project planned for out where they park the trailer for the Boy Scout troop, and then they've got another project planned for the back area of our church. So a lot of good things being done for this church because of our scouting ministry. So we thank you to the scouts and to all of you who lead in that ministry of the church. A note in your bulletin, go-getters, we are having lunch tomorrow, so hope that you will come and join us. A nice gathering, a good meal, and some stories from a recent trip to Spain, so that should be a lot of fun. And then there is a misprint on the date for the spring fling for you ladies of Westminster. It should say May the 17th, so not tomorrow, but a month from tomorrow, May the 17th. So we look forward to that. A couple of prayer concerns to share with you. We continue to be in prayer for Betty Chisholm. That's Al's mom. She had a pacemaker put in on Friday and is recovering at Lexington Hospital. Hopes to be moved to Presbyterian Home tomorrow, right, Al? And so we continue to pray for Betty and for the family. Also, prayers for George Gerner, who's having some surgery tomorrow. And so we pray all will go well. We expect good things, but ask for your prayers for him as he goes under the knife tomorrow. Are there other prayer concerns or notes that need to be made for the community? If not, let us prepare our hearts to celebrate on this Easter Sunday. Thank you.
please stand and join me in the call to worship? The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia, the Lord is risen. This is our message. Let us tell the good news to all. Christ the Lord has risen today and opened to us grace and forgiveness. So let us confess our sins together and in silence let us pray. Living God, we confess that we look for the living among the dead. We are foolish and slow to believe the promise of the prophets. We are frightened and full of doubt. Even when you stand among us, forgive us, God of grace. Open our hearts to receive your word that leads to life, the life that death cannot destroy. My friends, hear and believe the good news. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On this Easter Sunday, we sing Alleluia. All glory, honor, and praise belong to you alone, O God. For you are the one who created the earth. With a word, you spoke the world into being. You fashioned and formed us out of the dirt of the good earth, and by your very breath, you give us life. So we come with thanksgiving, we come with celebration, we come with alleluia, praise the Lord upon our lips. For you have raised us up. You have given us another Easter morning, another day to sing our praises to you, another day to celebrate the good news that the Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. For in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see your love made manifest. Your love revealed for the world, a self-giving love. You give yourself to us every day. For every day is an Easter day, and we are your Easter people, living into your good news, and so we sing. And so we celebrate, and so we share in good news. And yet we live in a world that is bent and broken, hurting and wounded, warring and threatening war. And so we pray for Easter good news to reign not just in our lives, but in our world as well. In those places where bombs and threats of bombs destroy and violence reigns in the streets, we pray for peace. In bodies, minds, and spirits bent and broken by pain and suffering, we pray for healing. Those who are lost in despair, the darkness of depression, the hopelessness, we pray for your light to shine. Indeed, Lord Jesus, you are a friend to the friendless. You are a help to the hopeless. You are the very healing balm that soothes our pain. So we call on you to come. Be not just in our midst, but be in our world, healing, forgiving, redeeming, making well. And we join with your first disciples, celebrating good news this Easter day. For life has come out of death. A life that is beyond imagining. A life eternal, abundant. A life lived with you, now and forevermore. And so we lift our voices, joining with your very love, proclaiming what is true, and praying together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite the children who are gathered today to come and join on these steps, and Mr. Will Green has a story to share with us.
Wow, today is an extraordinary day. Happy Easter. It is an excellent day filled with all kinds of exciting activities. I'm not done yet, Chloe. When I was talking to Dr. Denny about today, I said, "Do you want to do the children's sermon? It's kind of a big Sunday." And he said, "Nah, I'm going to let you do it." Nothing? I don't get anything out of y'all? I thought you'd be cracked up over all of those jokes. Nothing? Okay. So there's so many symbols of Easter, right? Look around the sanctuary. Easter lilies, flowers are symbols. You look and you see crosses. Crosses are symbols. Chocolate in the stores and at home now. Rabbits, peeps, and especially eggs. Lots and lots of eggs. Today, we had our annual egg hunt at our house. And yesterday, we had our annual egg hunt at the church. Eggs are a big symbol for Easter. I want y'all to hold some of these eggs. So is it what you expected? When you grabbed the egg, did you feel what you thought you would feel? Did it feel exactly? Was it not as heavy as you thought it would be? Was it not full like you thought it would be? What's different about those eggs? They're empty. There's nothing in it. Today in the scripture, we hear again about the ladies that went to the tomb. Remember that when Jesus died on the cross and they buried him, they put him in a tomb and they rolled a stone over it. And the ladies went to find the body of Jesus and to put oils on Jesus to anoint him. And when they got there, it was empty. There was no body. Jesus was not there. But there was an angel there, and the angel said to the ladies, "Jesus is not here. He's risen. And he's gone." That's not what the ladies were expecting, was it? Just like you weren't expecting for those eggs to be empty, those ladies were not expecting for the tomb to be empty. It was unexpected. And the thing that that tomb represents, that empty tomb, is incredible for us because it represents something that we are really appreciative of.
Let's see if we can figure that out. It's like an age on us.
Because of that empty tomb, hope was brought into all of our lives, into the world. Hope filled the world, even though the tomb was empty. The hope that we could live our lives with the love of Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about the empty eggs. I want you to think about the empty tomb today. And I want you to think about the hope that we were all given because of that. Let's pray about that now. Father God.
Father God.
Jesus rose.
Jesus rose.
The tomb was empty.
The tomb was empty.
But the world was full.
The world was full.
Of hope for all of us.
Of hope for all of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job, guys.
Today's scripture reading comes from the 16th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. For the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, for the word of God in Scripture, thanks be to God.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This is one of the earliest call and responses that we know in the Christian community. A call and response is where one person says a line and another person responds appropriately. We do it every day. I'll show you what I mean. We come up to someone, we meet them, and we say, "Well, David, how are you?" And he says, "I'm fine. How are you?" It's a call and response. It's something we do all the time. And this one, the Lord is risen, he's risen indeed, is perhaps the earliest Christian confession of faith. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It is the truth that we proclaim on Easter Sunday. It is the core of the gospel. It is the very good news itself. Some even think that perhaps it was used as an early form of greeting when Christians would meet each other on the street, not just on Easter Sunday, but on every day of the week. They would say, "The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed." It pronounces the truth that Jesus is not dead, but rather very much alive. And this good news is the focal point of Mark's resurrection story. We hear of the women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, are on their way. They're going to Jesus' grave to anoint his body with spices and oils. They're going to do one final loving act for their friend. They're going to finish burying their Lord. They're going to see the one that they had hoped would redeem Israel. Now dead. And as they set out along their way, as they're journeying on the way, they're discussing, "Who is it? Who's going to move this big, huge stone for us?" The stone that sealed the grave. The last story that we told last Sunday when I dropped that rock onto the table and then the floor. the symbol, the reminder that Jesus is dead. The Gospel of Mark tells us that when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. I think it's interesting that Mark adds a comment about the size of the stone. The women already had been discussing that they couldn't move the stone. But now Mark tells us the stone was huge. It was so heavy that it could not be moved. Perhaps it's symbolic, the stone, the barrier, the block between life and death. Mark wants us to be absolutely clear that something special is going on here. That stone didn't move itself. The women enter the tomb and they see a young man dressed in white seated on the right side, and they are alarmed. Needless to say, it wasn't what they had expected. They came to perform one last loving act of service for Jesus. They came looking for Jesus. Dead, bloodied, wrapped in a cloth. But instead, they find not death, not a lifeless body, but a young man who is very much alive and still not Jesus. They are alarmed. They are terrified. An appropriate response, I would say. The young man seeks to calm them down, saying what every angel tends to say: don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? My friends, this is the focal point of the entire gospel. This is what we have been waiting 16 chapters in Mark's gospel to hear. And here it is, the Easter message. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. The young man continues by saying to the women, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." The angel gives the women a mission, a purpose. They are to go and tell. But listen to the final verse. My favorite part of the story. Mark writes, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." What? That's not how you end a gospel? That's not how you end the Easter story? They went out and said nothing to anyone? And yet, that's where Mark's gospel ends. Now, it's not clear whether Mark intended to end it here or whether somehow we have lost the rest of the gospel. And if you follow along in your Bibles, you will note, you'll see a little footnote where someone has added some verses, verses 9 through 20. And it makes sense. That's no way to end a gospel in the Bible. They said nothing to anyone because they were terrified. Most reliable historical sources don't contain those last verses. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I mean, is it the whole point of the good news, the whole point of the gospel, is that we go and tell others? Just like the young man in the tomb told the women to go and tell the disciples? Did they do it? According to this last verse, chapter 16, verse 8, according to Mark, no, they didn't. According to that verse, they didn't say anything. This is when I wish Paul Harvey had lived in Jesus' day. Some of you remember Paul Harvey. I'd love to tune in to the Gospel Channel and hear that distinct voice say, "Stand by for news." Page 2. You see, if Paul Harvey had lived in Jesus' day, perhaps we would learn the rest of the story. How does Mark's gospel end? What is the rest of the story? Did Mark intend to stop here at verse 8? Well, we really don't know. But let me show you something interesting. The English translations, the one that Rich read, don't quite tell us all there is to know about verse 8. For you see, in the original, in the Greek language, verse 8 ends with the word for or because. It's a joining word. It's a word that signals something else is coming. It's like ending a sentence with the word and. And what? You can't end a sentence in the middle like that. There should be a phrase to follow, but there isn't. The Gospel of Mark literally ends in the middle of a sentence. And that's what I find interesting. There is no closure. The story is left wide open. The resurrection of Jesus, the proclamation that the Lord is risen, He is risen indeed, is not the end. In some sense, the open ending of Mark's gospel says that the resurrection, Easter Sunday, is just the beginning. It's left up to the reader to finish the story. It is up to us to bring the closure. In effect, what Mark has done is written us into the very gospel story of Jesus. We too are part of the story. We, the disciples of today, are writing the later chapters. And I wonder, what will our chapters say? How will you write the next chapter of the gospel? How will we tell the story of the good news? For you see, we too are witnesses of everything Jesus did. We have seen Him hanging on the tree. We have been at the empty tomb, raised on the third day, and we have seen Him in our midst. See, Jesus was not seen by all the people, but only by the witnesses whom God had already chosen. Jesus has been seen by you and me whenever we eat or drink with Him at the table. Every time we gather in this place, joining in worship, the risen Christ is in our midst. And Jesus still commands us to preach to the people, to testify that He is the one appointed as judge of the living and the dead. He is the one to whom all the prophets, indeed all the scriptures, testify that those who believe in Him will receive forgiveness in His name. It was the calling of the first disciples. It was the calling of those first women on that first Easter. Go and tell. For you see, if Mark's gospel really does end with the line, "They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid," then the story's over. The good news is finished. And there is no Easter. But Mark's gospel is open-ended. Did he do it on purpose? Well, the very first verse of the Gospel of Mark says this. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest to you that perhaps Mark is saying to us, this is only the beginning. Did Mark leave the gospel open-ended on purpose? Well, we just don't know. But what I do know is that this open-ended gospel proclamation invites us to live as if we're still living with Jesus. For we are, you know. It is true. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. So, beloved, the good news we are still writing. Will the story end with us, or will it be filled with God's sightings? Now is the time. Today is the day, and you are invited to live in an Easter way. For today, Jesus rose from the grave. God restored him to life that we might be saved. So believe and live in such a way that perhaps Paul Harvey would turn to you and say, "And now you are the rest of the story." To the glory of God. Amen. Say with what we believe using words of the Apostles' Creed. Christians, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Good news. We celebrate good news this day. News of God's love risen for us. News that needs to be shared. So the question is, how will you carry the good news and share it with others? Let us give ourselves to God. Celebrate good news this day, and we hear your command to go and tell. So send us by the power of your Spirit to carry the news with us with every breath and heartbeat to all we meet this day and every day of our life, to your glory alone, through Christ our Lord. Amen. He is risen
indeed.
So go in that good news, proclaiming God's love to all you meet this day and every day. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever.